Okay, today I want to talk about, I want to review with you a couple of interesting ideas that I came across in this kuntres called Oitzer Hayidiyos Asifas Gershon. This fellow, Gershon, Asifas Gershon, this fellow, he put out a number of volumes. His name is Eisenberg, Gershon Eisenberg. He lives now in Lakewood. I know that he used to live in Chicago. He probably retired. Over the last 10, 15 years, he put out a number of Kuntres, but at least two svarim. One basic ideas based on the letters of the Aleph base, and they put out a very nice volume on Shabbos. And then for each Yom Tov, he put out a separate, either a Kuntres or a volume. He has a volume on Chanukah, a volume on Purim, and maybe some others. And I tried to spend some time yesterday going through this Kuntres. And it's basically a collection of interesting things that he came across and he jotted down. So I want to share with you some of these things that I found to be very interesting. Eisenberg,
yes.
He spells it with an E.
Oh, okay.
E-I-S.
Okay.
Eisenberg. Okay, so the first thing is, let's talk about the Kravets. The Kravets, I never knew much about this. I found this fascinating. The Kravets, I only said it once. That year, I was davening for the Amud, and they told me I should say the Kravets. So what is a Kravets? What is a Kravets? We normally have Yoitzreis, and we have Kurvois. Well, Yoitzreis means that it's an addition to the brach of Yoitzer Or Uvarei Choshech. In the brach of Yoitzer Shachris, before the Shemon Esrei, Yoitzer Or, in that brach we in, that's where comes the word Yoitzreis. Today we recite piyutim after Musaf or before Musaf, and we call them Yoitzras. Parsha Zohar, Parsha Sachodesh, Parsha Spara, we call Yoitzras. But we're not reciting it where they were meant to be recited. The things that some shuls recite after they finish the Shemona Esrei, before they take out the Sefer Torah, or before they daven Musaf, which is called Yoitzras, were originally cited and appended to the bracha of Yoitzer Or of Ari Choshech. Then there's something called Kurva. Kravets, which means to come close. That appears to be just a term that refers to tefillah. In the olden days, there was no such thing as a shatz, a shliach tzibur. The term shliach tzibur you find it in the Gemara, but it wasn't common. It was used the korov. The person who goes in front of the omud to daven is the one who goes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But you have instances where
HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem was nisatef kishliach tzibur. But in the terminology, the way people refer to the one that leads the service in the Beis HaKnesses in ancient times was not with the term the shliach tzibur, the chazen. When that was the term chazen, it was with the term the korov.
Today you call it the breitel.
What does that mean? What's the breitel?
The board.
The board. The one who goes close. The one who davens to the Amud, the Yesh Misha Kosok, Shachazon, the Prima Godim writes, Shachazon Nikro Koroiv. The Chazon traditionally was called the Koroiv. Can you be the Koroiv today? Okay, can you be the Koroiv? Ki Hashem b'mokoyim koin, why is it called the Koroiv? Ki Hashem b'mokoyim. I made a mistake and tell you, Ki Hoya b'mokoyim ha-koyin ha-makrif. Okay, the one that serves as the Shliach Tzibor is bringing an offering on our behalf. Unshalma Farim Sefaseinu. So he serves in the place of the Kohen who brings a Korban. And therefore, the term the Koroiv, the Lashon of Korban, was used in reference to the Shliach Tzibor. Okay, but where does the word Kravets come from? What does that come from? So in the Hanami, it's none of the above. The Kravets is a Rosh Etevos of Kol, Rina, Vishua, Be'ohale, Tzadikim. That's what it's Rosh Etevos. Kol Rina, it's an expression of praise and thanksgiving. Kol Rina, Vishua, Vishua, Be'ohale, Tzadikim. This is the popular explanation given by the Sefer Mat'amim as to where this term came from. However, many disagree, and many hold that the word, there is no, okay, there's another very nice pshat. There's a targum, a very fascinating interpretation from called the Raglei Mevaser. It's a pasuk in Amos, Perek Zayin, Pasuk A. It says there, Haportim al pi hanovel. It's referring to people that are playing musical instruments. And the pasuk again, Amos Zayin Hey, Haportim al pi hanovel, hanovel, people that play the musical instruments, and there the Targum translates dim kav tzin al pum navla. Curvates. The Sharish, the word that the Targum translates for playing, for singing music, is the word dim kar, dim korbitsin, which is the word curvates. So he wants to suggest that's where it comes from. It's an Aramaic word which means to sing. It means to sing music. So this is a song. This addition to the Shemoneh Esrei on the morning of Purim is a song. We sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an Aramaic word, which if you know Tanakh on your fingertips, you'll right away know that's where it comes from. The third interpretation is that the word krevets was a distortion for the word krevois. The tzadi is a mistake. And when the Ashkenazim came to visit the people who lived in Spain and Provence and all those other countries, wherever it was, different regions, they did not differentiate between a tzadi and a tov. And they, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the way they pronounced letters, and they thought they were saying krevois, and they did not properly hear the last tov, krevois, the sof, and they thought they were saying a tzadi, and somehow by mistake the word krevois turned into a krevets with a tzadi. But really it comes from the word krevois, which is a term which we all know what it means. It means an addition that is inserted to the tefillah, and being that tefillah is called koroiv, we come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Any additional piyut that we insert in the tefillah was given the term a krevois. So sach hakol, we have really three primary reasons, translations for the word krevets. It's nothing more than an acronym called Rina v'Yeshua b'Yolei Tzadikim. The second interpretation is it's the Aramaic translation of the word to sing. And the third interpretation is that it's a corruption of the word krevois. Krevois, which is a popular expression to refer to people that were added into the tefillah. Now, it's very interesting to take it out. I never knew all this. You look at the krevois, if you give it a chance to look at it, you'll notice that the first word of each stanza is the pasuk. Is what?
I'm sorry. Before we go on, do you have any details on what the... and when it was written.
Okay, who wrote the Krevets? So we don't know, we assume that the Kalir. Many suggest the Kalir wrote, I think there's an acronym, actually his name is at some point there's a... I think he brings it down here. Perish al-Tishri d'Abeleza Zira. He quotes it here. I don't think I can find it at this moment. Do you think he quotes who wrote it? I think he says the Kalir, which then means it's probably at least a thousand years old. The Kalir Ninos Latam, the Kalir? Yeah, the art's called the Kalir.
At the bottom, he says where it is now.
Okay, so there's an acronym at the end of the piyut. At the end of the piyut, indeed, he signed his name Elozar HaKalir. The Kalir, the famous Kalir. Now, if you just should be aware that the first word of each stanza is a word from a pasuk. Vayehav hamelech es Esther mikol hanashim vatisachin v'chesed lefnei mikol habesulos vayosim kesem alchus b'roisha vayamlicheha tachas vashvii. Okay, so that's the pasuk. That's the first word. The end, the last sentence is Mordechai yotza milefnei hamelech b'levush malchus techilas v'chur v'yater. So it's very interesting is that this is a very complex piyut where the first word is one pasuk, the pasuk of Esther. I have a melech as Esther, and the other pasuk is Mordechai. Fasting is a good shidduch. Mordechai and Esther. The beginning is Esther, and the end of the piyut is Mordechai. the pasuk, the highlight of Mordechai, the pasuk that highlights the success of Esther. And as you all know, that it's also based on the Aleph Beis. As you go through each one of these stanzas, it goes through the letters of the Aleph Beis. So that's also a complex sequence. And the only we mentioned last thing, we're not going to go through now. The only thing that's missing in this kreveitz is the bracha of Esemach David. There is no kreveitz for Esemach David, and we gave last week two reasons, either because it's the Malchus of Shol, we're not focusing on Malchus David, we're focusing on the Malchus of Shol, Mordechai V'Esther came from Shol, or because in ancient times the bracha of Yerushalayim and Esemach David were merged into one, so the Mechaber, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, did not compose a separate stanza for the bracha Es Semach David that was already included in Yerushalayim Ircha.
The initials are at the end?
I don't know exactly. You have to study it where he hid his name. In the beginning it tells you where he hid his name. Okay, as we mentioned again, this is in the league of its own. The Gra that did not recite any piyutim did recite the kreveitz lepurim. So if you go to shul, they say the kreveitz lepurim, you know you're in good company. You're in good company. By day, only by day, only by day, only during shachris, only during the chazaras hashatz. The chazaras hashatz for shachris is when he said it. Okay, let's go to a couple of other ideas. Chayiv Adam Levasume Bipuraya Ad Lo Yoda. Many places can tell us there's a machlokes in the Gemara, so in all of Shas, when it says Ad, is it Ad Bichlal or Ad Viloy Ad Bichlal? So many places can say the Karban Asana specifically says that when it says in Chazal Chayiv Adam Levasume Bipuraya Ad Lo Yoda, it means Ad Viloy Ad Bichlal. So that puts a sour twist on the mitzvah.
You never know when the last.
You never know. Okay, the last one. How far you go? Okay, so that is now. What does it mean that chayiv ad? Let's say you want to interpret. Let's say indeed you want to interpret it ad v'loyada to meaning literally ad v'ad b'chlal. What does that mean exactly? So there are many interpretations. One says the gematrias, that you cannot figure out the gematria. You have to calculate the numbers Orur Haman and Baruch Mordechai have the same gematria. One, what is it, 102? 102, they have the same gematria. And if you get to a point of intoxication where you no longer can keep track, you cannot make the mathematical calculation between the two, that already means you have reached Ad Lo Yoda. There's another very popular interpretation is that we don't know what this is, but it seems it was a piyut. It could be. What? You just drink a little bit, just to drink a little bit already, your mind is already not 100%, you can't make the numbers. There's another very popular interpretation. It seems that it could be that it's lost from us. There was an ancient piyut where there was a chazan sang the piyut, and the tzibu would respond, alternatively, they would respond Arur Haman, and then the next one they would respond Baruch Mordechai, Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai. And the shatz would read a stanza, and the tzibu would say Arur Haman. The shatz would read the next stanza, and the tzibu would see Baruch Mordechai. And when you get confused, already that's when you know already you have drunk enough. You have this on, I know you have, I have this on Shavuos night in the abdomen. So you got to keep track of the lines.
Yes,
so I once saw the Baal Kori, he was so tired. He was laying, he stayed the whole night. He was just so tired, and his 10 kids. And now he stayed the whole night, and he was about to land in the abdomen, and he was reading the lines, the little letters, and he just got mixed up. And he read the two lines the wrong way. He went into the negative, everyone was screaming at him, "What are you saying? You're getting all mixed up." That's exactly what it meant. It means Ad Lo Yoda if we would have this piyut.
Yeah. Shavuos night. I marked it. I have lines in my marks, which is mine, which is yours.
What?
I put my lines in my Shavuos marks.
Oh, to make sure that you don't which one you're supposed to say and which one you're not supposed to say. Okay. Let's go to now Al Hanisim. Now Al Hanisim, I don't know what's going on over here. I'm just throwing this out to you because it appears that there are different versions. So every time I look at these type of things and I count the numbers myself, the numbers never add up. But everyone quotes this. So there must be, so that's why I'm telling this to you, because there must be something to it. It appears there are many versions of the Al Hanisim for Purim. We have a standard nusach. If you open up the article Siddur, you open up another Siddur, you're going to find the same nusach. And our nusach, they're only like, I don't know, like 75 letter words. There are 75 words, something like that. I forgot, I counted it, I don't remember, but it's not what it says here. It seems there was a very popular nusach of Al Hanisim that had exactly 85 words. And they were very makbid on this. In Al Tehaim, 85 words. The reason why they were makbid to recite in Al Hanisim that had exactly 85 words is because the Aseres in the column in the Megillah, that's Aseres b'nei Haman, has exactly 84 letters plus Haman. We give him one, is 85. So the Al Hanisim should correspond to the Kala of the Aseres b'nei Haman, this Parshandos, V'yestal, V'yestalpos, V'yestalpos, so all of the names with the words V'yest, you count it up, that column has 84/85, and we want the Al Hanisim to equal the number 84, 80, 85. Again, the problem is, our popular version of the Al Hanisim does not have anywhere close to 85. So I don't know how this whole thing came about.
And it wrote it was Adloyada.
Okay, but one thing I do, just one thing, the only reason why I'm telling you is that this is brought down in a lot of, he quotes a lot of over and over the same thing, a lot of different sources that say the same thing. And just one thing that struck me is that the number 85 is a very significant number. We know that the number 85 is the number of the smallest Sefer Torah. That if you have a Sefer Torah that's 85 letters, it has the full fledged Kedusha, because the Parsha Vayhi bin Soho Oroin Vayom Moshe has exactly 85 letters, surrounded by two nuns. And what does it say in that? It's amazing. What does it say there? Vayihi, when Torah travels, Vayihi bin Soharon Vayoymer Moshe Kumo Hashem V'yafutsu Oyevecha V'yanusu Misanecha Miponecha. That fits. V'nuchu Yomar Shuv Hashem Rivos Alfei Shol. It's amazing that that expression, those psukim capture in essence Purim. What is Purim all about? Kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashakiblu kvar, mitoch the avas hanes the umakabel Torah once again. The Purim is a kabbalah satorah. And what happened on Purim? Our enemies were destroyed, were smashed. By the whole parsha by Vayihi bin Sora is the koyach of Torah. When Torah is in motion, Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron, Vayoymer Moshe, Kumo Hashem V'yafutsu Oyevecha V'yanusu Misenecha Miponecha. That Parsha, Parshas Nosai, to some degree captures the essence of what Purim is all about. The Koyach of Torah, and the Koyach of destroying our enemies. And therefore, it's not a coincidence that there are 85 letters in Vayihi bin Soa, and there are 85 letters in the destruction and the Churban of the Aseres b'nei Haman. The Aseres b'nei Haman have 84 letters, plus Haman we consider to be one letter, for a grand total of 85. There's a connection. Obviously, there is some connection. Okay, that's the point I wanted to make. Obviously, we have a different version. You look probably at the Sfardim. Probably all of these Makaris are more Sfardish versions. There, it's a bit more elaborate. Okay, we say after we finish the Megillah, we say the Ato Kadosh Yosheiv Tilos Yisrael Vakaris Dolzev Yamar. We discussed this last week. One of the reasons, because that pasuk the Ato Kadosh comes from the pasuk Mizmor Chof Beis. The Ato Kadosh Yosheiv Tilos Yisrael Vakaris is Mizmor Chof Beis, right next to the Tefillah of when Esther was Mispalo to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Keli Keli Loma. So we want to be Saimech the Ato Kadosh to the Megillah, which in the Megillah, the theme of the Megillah is captured in that Mizmah. But there are other reasons as to why we say the Ato Kadosh, and one of them is Megillah is we don't appreciate the Koyach of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. We find the Halacha by Mikra Megillah we don't find anywhere else, that Yemavatlim Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. Kohanim are bottled from their avoida from Mikra Megillah. If Kohanim have to bring a carbon, they don't bring the carbon. It's more important for the Kohanim to go listen to Mikra Megillah than it is for them to bring the carbon. It's more important to hear the Megillah than to learn Torah. It is critical. Therefore, Chazal tell us about Kiddusha de Sidra. The Oilam is Oimed. Where's the Gemara? The Gemara is the question that the Ma Oilam Kayim. What does the world exist on? On Yehesh Shmei Rabbah. When you say Yehesh Shmei Rabbah, Mevarach La'olam Ulmemaya, and on Kiddusha de Sidra. It is one of the pillars of the world. And if not for the fact that Klal Yisrael every single day says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakas, and Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekom, when we translate it, the world would cease to exist. Mikra Megillah is also critical. The proof that it's critical is that we have to say that we have to be Mevatel Torah to learn to read, hear the Megillah. Kohanim have to be from the Malacha. So the Koyach of Tefillah, Karbanos represents Tefillah, Torah is Torah, Mikra Megillah is more important. Therefore, we juxtapose it with the Atah Kadosh Yoshev Tilos Yisrael V'Kara Zel Zev Yemar with Kiddusha Tesidra to show Mikra Megillah is on the level of something that the whole world depends on. A whole new look at why we put together these two things are connected. Okay, we all know the Vart about the difference between the Grager and the Dreidel. The Dreidel you spin from on top, and the Grager you spin from below. Everyone knows, everyone heard this 100 times, because in the time of Purim, the salvation only came through our actions. Lech kinosis kol hayehudim, but at the time of Chanukah, it was Israato de Le'ela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that spun things. Here he just adds one small point. That's why the nusach of the Al Hanisim is different between Chanukah and Purim. On Chanukah we say, Rafta es Rivam, Danta es Dinam, Akamta es Nikmasam. On Purim we say Horav es Rivenu, the Hadon es Dinenu, Vanoikim es Nikmosenu. Why is it that on Purim in the Al Hanisim are we focusing on ourselves? We are here, and you Hashem, you came down to help us. Horav, you took up es Rivenu, our quarrel. Whereas Chanukah, Rafta, Hashem is speaking. Rafta, second, third person. Rafta es Rivam. Danta Estinam, we're outsiders. We're not even involved. We're not even participants. It's as if we're from the Umos Olam talking about what happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did. Why is that so? It's the same exact theme. Purim, it was all our doing. We were involved. We were part of the process. Therefore, it's Rivenu. It's our fight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to our assistance. Chanukah, we didn't do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to our assistance. We didn't do anything special. Lech kenos kol hayehudim. The Chashmonaim, they did it on their own. They were mispal. They did it on their own. Therefore, it's Rafta es Rivam, Danta es Dinam. We give credit to others. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let me just turn some pages here. Okay, when we make the Shachayanu in the morning of the Megillah, there's machlekes ha-poiskim, if one should have kavana to also give that the Shachayanu is going for the matanos lo evyoinim. We discussed this last week. The Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says that an announcement should be made that when one answers Amen to the bracha of Shechiyanu, you should have in mind that the bracha is for all the mitzvahs hayom, including Matanos Le'avyayinim. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah does not mention, I think the Ramah does not mention having kavan for Matanos Le'avyayinim. So he explains here in the name of the Nitei Gavriel. Nitei Gavriel, a very popular sefer on halacha. I think a lot of, and he says that the machloikis, the poiskim, if you make a bracha, is a fundamental machloikis. What is the gather of matanos levyoinim? Is it tzedakah? It's a stalker which Chazal told us that we must do on Purim, or it's a separate mitzvah bifnei atzmo. If you learn that it's a mitzvah of tztaka, it's just another example of tztaka, then it's not proper to make a bracha, because we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tztaka. That's an old shaila. You don't make a bracha that depends upon someone else, because who says the recipient will want to receive? When it comes to tztaka, you don't make a bracha on someone else's tzara, someone else's matzah. If he has no money, he needs a handout. You know that Chazal did not even misakin to have a simcha over someone else's sorrow. That's if you learn that the bracha that matanas levyonim is a form of tzedakah. However, many parts consider matanas levyonim is not tzedakah. It's a different type of mitzvah, and the proof is a mitzvah of simcha. When you give money to the poor man, you're not giving him money to provide his needs. You're giving him money to bring him joy. It's a very interesting idea. When you give a regular person money, what's your kavana? Person is poor. They come to the door. They come collecting. I need money. Can you give me a dollar? Give me $2, $5. You give them some money. What are you doing? I'm providing you with your needs. Are you happy? No, I'm not happy. Because I have to go to this, not enough. I have to go to the next person, so on and so forth. I'm in a miserable matzav. I need a job. I need help. No, so Baruch Hashem, at least now I have what to eat. I'm not going to starve today. Die another day. Right, I used to go on the bus. They used to have an advertisement for a movie. I have no idea. It's a kosher movie, not a kosher movie, but they used to advertise this movie. Die another day. Right, I love that expression. So the Ani, he gets the tztaka, gevaldik. Die another day. Is he happy? Is that? That's not what matanos levyonim. Matanos levyonim is to take the people who are b'derech klal b'tzar, they don't have what to eat, to give them some simcha. It's a whole different type of mitzvah. That Chazal u'matzakin, you make a bracha. That you do make a bracha. What's the bracha? The bracha of Shachianu. L'may nafkamina. We know the nafkamina is an Purim called ha'poishet yad noisnim loy. Why? So he's a charlatan. He's a faker. He's a phony. He want to give money, even if he's not poor. If you'll give him the dollar, he'll be happy. So you have fulfilled what Matanas Levyonim is all about. The purpose of Matanas Levyonim is not to provide a person's needs. That's tztaka. Kimcha de pischa. Tztaka. There are many opportunities to provide a person with their need. The purpose is to give a person simcha. If a person has gone through the effort of hiding by coming to you and schnurring money, obviously he has hana when you give him money. So adarabah. So giving him money, even though he's not deserving, you have fulfilled the inyan of being mesamech someone else. Okay. We say at the end of the bracha, there's a very interesting avudraham. Horov es rivenu, hadon es dinenu, hanoikim es nikmasenu, vanifalonu mitzvenu, v'hamshalim gumulachol oivei nafshin. Why do we say so many expressions? Avudraham says it corresponds to all of the events in Tanakh where Klal Yisrael fought Amalek. The first time where it says Horov es rivenu corresponds to Yehoshua. Yehoshua was the first one to go to battle against Amalek, or Moshe also, but Vayachlish Yehoshua es Amalek v'Samolik fi Choref. Okay, that's the time of Moshe. So that's during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. During times, that's Horov es Rivenu. Hadon es Dinenu is Ehud.
I mean, Ehud, is there a correspondence between the expression of
there must be. Avudram is saying this, so obviously that requires further in. I don't have the full interpretation. He doesn't explain it, but he points out that the repetition does correspond to the five times. Harav Eshivenu is Yoshua. Hadon Estinenu is Ehud ben Hayemini. He killed Egloin Melech Moav, but the Pasuk says that with Moav, he killed Amon and Amalek. There are a lot of hidden events in Tanakh where Amalek was also part of the battle. And there in Ehud, he's one of the Shoftim, he was killed with Moav, Amon Amalek. So that's Ehud. That was Hardon Estinenu. Hanaikim Estinigmosin was Gidoin. Gidoin killed Midian. His main battle was against Midian, but the Pasuk says he killed with Midian Amalek. And Anifra Lonu meet Serenu is Shaul. The Amishalim Gumul, Shaul, he went to Muhammad against Amalek. He made a mistake, he didn't kill them all out. The Amishalim Gumul, was David in Tziklag. Tziklag, David waged the war against Amalek. And the chasim of Anifer Lanu Allah Alamo Yishomi called Sarayam is Mordechai the Esther, and then Akel HaMoshiach is Limos HaMoshiach. So just find it very nice. We say this bracha, and you say the bracha at the end of the Megillah, Akel Harav Shivenu, Hadam Stinenu, Hanaki Vestigmasenu, Anifer Lanu Mitzarenu, Hamasham Gulhalin Avshenu, Akel HaMoshiach. All of these six expressions. These six expressions correspond to the six times in Tanakh when five times in Tanakh when Klal Yisrael waged a war against Amalek, and the sixth time, or Kel HaMashiach, the last two words, alludes to the time of Mashiach, the final battle of Mashiach. Okay, we clap Haman. We're running out. He counts Harav Shivenu, Yoshua.
Yoshua.
Hadonis Dinenu, Ehud. Hanoikim Estigmosenu, Gidoin. Vanifrolanu Mitzarenu, Shaul. The Amashalem Gemul, Luchol Oivein Avshenu.
David
and David. That's five. Yeah. Okay. The Chasimos, two more. You're right. Two more. Seven. Two more. Seven. You're right. I'm sorry. Seven. Mordechai, the Esther is Hanifra Liamo Yisrael called Sarayhem, and the two words are Kel HaMashiach is Le'asilav of the time of Mashiach. Okay, we clap. This is interesting. This comes from Yushami. We clap Haman the entire Megillah. By the way, I made a mistake last week. I don't know if I made a mistake. I don't know how to calculate. I am almost positive I saw in the Sefer that it says there are 54 times Haman in the Megillah. Right? That's if I'm not mistaken, that's what it says. There are 54. But I saw over here it says there are 44. There are 44. So I'm not sure. Is it 54 or is it 44? How many al-chaits are there? 43. So I just find it very interesting is that you clap one more Haman and then you clap al-chaits. When you clap al-chaits, you clap 43 times. But Haman, him you clap 44 times. He gets one more. Okay, there's another idea. We clap Haman the entire Megillah. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that the Amoraim were learning Sefer Daniel, and every time they came to Nebuchadnezzar, no, they didn't clap. They didn't say Nebuchadnezzar, Kavod HaMalchus. They always had respect when they were learning Sefer Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, wherever it says the Nebuchadnezzar, Yeshaya, every time it alludes to Nebuchadnezzar, they always had their acharetz. When they got up to learning the Megillah, when they got to the Megillah, Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, and it says that Ve'ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan HaBiyoshma Mordechai Ben Yoir Ben Shimi Ben Mekish Ishim Asher Hagla Miyushalayim Im Hagla Asher Haglasa Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Oh, when they got to Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, when they were learning the Megillah, this is the Yerushalmi, the Amorayim, they went crazy. They started a boom, they started making latsanis, and they started saying terrible things. So the Talmidim asked them, why is it that until now, when you're learning Sefer Daniel, and you came across Nebuchadnezzar, you were quiet, you had respect for Nebuchadnezzar. Now, when you're learning Megillas Esther, and you come across Nebuchadnezzar, all of a sudden you start making latsanis of him. So they answered, because when you learn Torah, you have to relive it. You relive the experience. When we're learning Sefer Daniel, in learning Yeshaya, he wasn't born yet, or Daniel, he's alive. We're reliving the experience. He's alive. Kavod HaMalchus. The king may be a Rasha, but the Pasuk says, Gam b'madacha melech al tekalel. You're not allowed to curse the king even in your thoughts. As long as he's alive, even if the king is a Rasha, you have to have their cheretz, Kavod HaMalchus. But now we come to the Megillah, and in the Megillah, already Nebuchadnezzar already long died, Asher Haglun Nebuchad, Asher Hegla Miyushan Nebuchadnezzar, so we come to the first time we make reference to Nebuchadnezzar who died long ago. Now is the right time to get up and say, Shem Risham Yerka. This is a Yerushalmi. So, I have to tell you, I'll look at it a little later on for you. So, yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
When Nebuchadnezzar's name is mentioned, to Shechik Atzmo Sof.
Oh, that's the Yushami's expression. When did they say Shechik Atzmo Sof?
In the Megillah.
In the Megillah. When they were learning the Megillah, but not when his name was mentioned before when he was still alive.
But it makes a distinction. When reading something, when Nebuchadnezzar is still alive.
Oh, you don't say it.
Don't say it?
But when after
the other way around.
No, then you don't say it.
After his death,
you do say it. Because Chazal tell us that you have to have derech eretz for the Malchus no matter what. Even if the Malchus is a Malchus or a Shah, you have to have derech eretz.
That's Chazal.
By Paro, you have to have derech eretz. Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, have respect for Paro. When he's alive. And then when he's dead, then you say his bones should be obliterated, his bones should rot. Because he's dead. He's gone, now we can reflect upon his wickedness. So some use that Yerushalmi, this is a very interesting idea, as a makar, that when you lay in the Megillah, you are reliving the experience. Just like when the night of Pesach, you have to relive the experience. Make believe you're in Egypt, you're going through the experience. When you lay in the Megillah, you are reliving the experience, you are reenacting. Therefore, you're not allowed to clap Haman until the end of the Megillah, Vayilu es Haman.
When he's dead.
And at the end of the Megillah, Achar Hadver Gidel Hamelech Achashverosh es Haman ben Hamdasa. You're going to go clap? He's in front of us.
But he's not a
melech.
What? He's not a
melech. Gidal HaMelech. If the melech elevated him, you have to have respect for him. Kavra Malchus. Derech Eretz for the melech. He was Derech Eretz. You're not allowed to clap. How dare you clap? This is a sheet that there are those that hold. So you know, Derech Eretz. Only at the end, Vayit Lewis hung on, they hung him up. Oh, now it's the Yerushalmi. Now that he's dead, now we can finally go and clap. Okay, besides, he brings out of here many stories, many mikaros, that in ancient times, it's sakana. The goyim were standing outside, and if they heard we were clapping Haman, it did not go off well. And there were many places that said they should mevatel the gezerah. They should mevatel this minug. The minug is a dangerous minug. Just like a Pesach night stealing the afikum. If the going to find out that we're teaching our children how to steal, it's not going to go off well on social media. It's not going to go off well on social media when we rejoice and we celebrate b'nifol oivecha al tismach. So, okay, obviously that's not the custom today, but when you read some of these minhagim, it gives you an appreciation into what we do. At least we should have some more appreciation. Okay, there's a lot more, believe me, we'll pick up on this tomorrow.